You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 252, and today Jason and I decided to do something a little different. We decided to invite a guest in-house, meaning we're going to run this podcast as if we had a guest, and Jason is going to be the guest, because we want to talk about parenting in a biblical way, parenting with the truth of Scripture, and I think this is an important topic. Well, obviously, it is an important topic, because, first of all, the Bible calls you to teach the commands of God to your kids, to raise your kids in a godly way. Of course, we all know the proverb that we've heard repeated by parents, and they take it as a command, right? Which is, train up your children in the way they should go, and in the end, they will not stray from it. And that there is a lot of truth to that. There's even been, you know, studies done that find where the father particularly actually is serious about his faith and engages his faith before the Lord, the kids are a vast majority of the time likely to follow in the footsteps. What I've seen of these studies is it's about 85%. So the vast majority of kids do, in fact, do that very thing if they are raised in a godly way. But then the other side, of course, is you've got all these competing different views of our culture. And one of them that I think, you know, really seems to be pervasive with a lot of parents is, well, we don't want to decide for our children what they are to believe. We just want to give them the opportunity to discover for themselves what they believe. Okay, that's trash. If you have that view, that's trash. I'm not going to mince words on that, because that's a horrible idea. And the reason that idea is being perpetuated is there are other people that want to decide for your kids what they're going to believe. And that's not good. And you just see, you know, so many commands in Scripture where we are told to do this, as parents called, you know, to live this way. Deuteronomy chapter 11, for example, we've talked about that in previous episodes on similar topics. You know, you have this command to not only teach your kids, but to not only believe it and live it, but to literally make it so much a part of their life that, you know, in a sense, they are confronted with, you know, the reality of God and God's truth and God's way and God's good and God's design, but also forced to interact with God himself, right? What are they going to do with that? So it's not a, you ultimately will decide how your kids respond to these things, but you give them every tool from God's good word, from God's good design for success, for their own good and for God's glory. And so, Jason, let's start there. How do you, as a parent, how do you actually make a culture in the home that is centered around God's word?
Yeah, this is super important. I think, I mean, you already kind of drew an outline of some of the things happening in our culture in the home, and that just makes biblical teaching on parenting all the more important. Because, I mean, for one thing, so there are like a whole slew of books out there on parenting, and many parents have been kind of led to believe, subtly or not so subtly, that unless they are getting their hands on these modern, basically, textbooks on how to parent your kids the right way, and I would argue basically a lot of these books have what's called a therapeutic model for parenting, which essentially says it's best for parents to not play the role of the authoritative figure in their lives. In fact, it's better not to have any kind of authoritative structure in the home. Instead, it's better to sort of be the friend of your child and to affirm your child in every way. Of course, there's nuance in that because biblical parenting does involve affirmation, certainly in the right way, but which we'll get to. But you know, there's just so many books out there that encourage. Basically, they say parents should never have to say no to their kids. They should be able to convince, persuade, and reason with their children until they see that there is a better way. And so never telling them no, never establishing discipline and consequences, and all of that, I'm just going to say all of that, the baseline problem there is that it has no biblical understanding of who we are as human beings and how we come into this world as sinners in need of a savior. And like that's, to some that's going to sound very old-fashioned, right? But it's just the reality. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches from the very beginning. Genesis 8, I believe it is. God tells Noah that he's not going to send a flood again, but he says the intention of a child's heart is evil, of every person's heart is evil from their youth. And we see this all through Scripture. You know, when David's giving his confession in Psalm 51, he says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He's not talking about his mom having a sinful relationship and he's, you know, somehow conceived in that sinful relationship. He's talking about he himself is conceived in iniquity. It's clear in the Hebrew that that's what's being taught. And so if you don't have that basic understanding, that very basic but all-important understanding that God is, first of all, the creator, he's holy, and establishing that understanding for your kids, helping them to see that they are sinful, that they do need to be made right with a holy God, and explaining to them what Jesus did for them. You know, giving them the gospel in the home is super important. It also needs to start in the home because there are, you know, false messages out there in the culture. And a big one out there right now is, it's been out there for a while actually, but it's the self-esteem message. And you get this from so many like kids programs and children's books. And honestly, like unless you're like in the Word of God, seeing what the Bible actually says about us and our condition before God, you might miss it. You might think like, oh, this is all good. But the reality is you look at what is taught to our kids on so many levels is you are amazing. You're awesome. No one should stand in your way from you getting what you want. You should focus most importantly on believing in yourself. And what's not talked about as much is the importance of thinking of how your decisions affect others and how you're going to impact so many people in your life and what are the long-term consequences of your decisions. You know, these things are not, you know, there's not very many children's books that are focusing on that. And so in the same way that the parenting books are largely therapeutic in their suggestions and their encouragements, they'll even, one children's book even says something along the lines of, if your child is biting, hitting, thrashing about, kicking you, it's best to say something like, "That makes me sad when you do that to me, and I don't get to hang out with you." I'm kind of rewording it a little bit, but frankly, that's paraphrasing exactly what they say. And so, all that to say is you need that culture in the home, getting back to your question, that starts with Scripture, because without the Bible, we are lost. We don't understand ourselves. We don't understand how to relate to God, and we really don't understand how to parent our children.
Yeah, I think sadly, you know, Jason, we've seen the logical conclusion of, you know, those kind of parenting books. And sadly, to even the worst conclusions in some cases. I mean, I remember when I was younger, there was a kid that, you know, had a mom who followed that parenting approach. It was just, oh, affirm, 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 you know. And my mom used to always say, "Man, that kid's going to end up in jail because he either, you know, later on in life, he's going to hurt himself or he's going to hurt somebody else." And unfortunately, that kid did go on to stab his mom to death as an adult and end up going to jail. And so it's like, I mean, yes, that's the worst possible outcome, right? That doesn't always go that badly. But it does illustrate, you know, this is a question of man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And, you know, the wisdom of man leads to death versus the wisdom of God. But how I want to ask the question, maybe more specific to, you know, in terms of follow up from what you just said there, how do you speak to these parents that are like, well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but the Bible, the biblical view is so countercultural, and we have so much pressure from all these other parents around us. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is, first and foremost, do you have a relationship with the Lord? You know, that's obviously got to be the starting point. If you're going to be receptive to the wisdom of God and the wisdom that the Spirit gives through His Word, you need to be in a right relationship with Jesus and trusting in Him for salvation. And then the next thing is, for those, you know, who do know the Lord, recognizing this is part of our calling, is we are called to not be conformed to the world. And so a lot of times what Christians do, what we say, what we live by is going to look odd, frankly. It's going to look a little weird to the watching world. And that's okay. I mean, embrace the weirdness. You know, if we believe God's wisdom, we trust His Word, it will prove to be accurate and true and beautiful and edifying in the long term. Even if people, you know, scowl at you for thinking that, you know, disciplinary action or establishing consequences for your kids is, you know, authoritarian, or, you know, there might be different words that would be used. But if they say that, then it could be from a place of insecurity about how they're parenting themselves, for one thing. But it's also just a matter of, if they see how your children do respond to your authority in the long term, I think that's going to be persuasive. Or at least that's going to get their attention, I'll say that, because they're going to recognize, okay, what I'm trying is not working. You know, there was a guy who, I think he's Harvard-educated, really smart guy in terms of, like, book smart, super well-educated, knowledgeable. Can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he wrote a book that was basically about his struggle to parent his son. And all through it, he's kind of laying guilt on himself, like, oh, I must have messed up somewhere. I must have done something wrong. I didn't get the nap time right. I didn't get, like, the nutritional things all perfect. And in the end, you see, like, I mean, the way his kid just tramples all over him, basically, totally disregards him and his authority, because he's never established his authority. And I think that that tells us that kids actually do want an authoritative parent, especially dads to be authoritative, but actually moms too. Moms tend to be better at the more nourishing, empathetic side, I would say. But that's not to say dads can't ever do that. But both are called to be authoritative parents in the sense that what they says should be understood as, that's the rule. Like, there should be discipline and consequences. And you know, honestly, like, as I was reading some of what this guy said, I felt bad for him. Like, because even though he was, on the one hand, criticizing all these authoritative ideas about parenting and how it, you know, it seems to suppress the emotional well-being of certain kids. He had different arguments for why he was doing what he was doing. But at the end of the day, he's just feeling exhausted, depleted, drained, because he's been totally despised by his child. And to me, that speaks to the fruit of godly wisdom, right? So sometimes what the Bible says seems strange or odd and puts us in a category where we feel a little isolated, maybe because we're thinking in a way that others around us aren't thinking. But the fruit, you know, Jesus said this, that Wisdom is shown to be right by its fruit, by its children. And I think that's indicative, especially of parenting, when you get to see someone who's actually taking the Bible seriously about what it says and actually saying, okay, as a parent, I need to be an authority figure in my child's life. I can't leave that to someone else. And I can't just be a friend.
And I think, too, part of that is recognizing that, you know, authority is one part imposed, sure, but it's also earned in respect. And, you know, one of the things you notice, at least I see this a lot, and it really irritates me, is parents that literally contradict their own message with their actions. You know, where you see the parent that while actively smoking tells their kids not to smoke, right? Or the one who says to their kids, yeah, don't start drinking alcohol while they're holding a beer, right? Or they tell their kid to not effing swear, right? Like, and you're like, really? Because there is a direct connection, right? How you live is going to either reinforce, you know, the things you tell your children, or it's going to undermine the things you tell your children. So at a fundamental level, don't you think that there is a lived aspect of, you know, this fundamental truth, that it's not just knowing, you know, what the Bible has to say, but also seeking to really live it out in your own life? And do you see that play out with your kids?
Yeah, no, that's a great, great point. Definitely, because kids are experts at hypocrisy detection. They hear everything you say when it comes to standards that you need to live by, right? The other things they may not necessarily choose to hear, but that's tongue in cheek. But it's true, actually, that if you say, "Hey, it's wrong to lie," and then they see you lying, you know, out in public to somebody, and then later you say, "Oh, it's just a white lie, no big deal." Well, you're sending a mixed message, and what you're doing is you're actually telling your child that they can do the same thing with you, and that's a huge thing. I mean, like, parenting by example is what we're all called to, and if you're not walking with the Lord, you know, then it's going to show up in your parenting. I mean, like, for example, one of the most common issues that parents will have is when their child is acting up, how do I respond? Am I gonna blow a gasket, get angry, scream, slam the door? Because when your children see you doing that, that is exactly what they will do. And frankly, they'll do that on their own, even if you're not doing that. But they're going to see it as, oh, that's justification for me to keep doing that. Because even while you're in the moment trying to correct their behavior, right? They've done something wrong. You're now responding to that. If you do it in a way that says, actually, the very things I'm correcting in you don't apply to me, you're saying that you're living by a double standard. And kids do pick up on that. I think it's, that's a really common one. I think a big one as well is how I treat Whitney, my wife, is going to be a major example for my boys. I've got three of them, on how they will treat women in their life. Because, you know, there's passages in the Bible that say things like, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And it's interesting, like, why does it put it that way? Like, despise, like, makes the glad, the wise son makes the dad glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. Well, I think part of it is that when you are not acting in wisdom, when you're foolish, you tend to demean people in general. And if the husband, or the dad in this case, is kind of showing contempt towards his wife, their mother, all growing up, you know, little put downs here, little I told you so's there. And it's kind of just like all they've seen is the dad is sort of running the mom down day after day after day. They will literally adopt that into their DNA, their relational DNA, and they'll stay, and they'll say and act the same way towards women. Yeah, they may be good charmers at the beginning, but long term, they're going to end up despising women because they've been learning from their dad to despise their mom. And so, yeah, that's a huge, huge area, I think, which is why, you know, biblical parenting ideally begins with mom and dad committed to each other for life in the covenant of marriage, where that relationship is actually put first before the relationship with the kids. And when that gets turned around and twisted, yeah, it can cause lots of problems because kids learn to manipulate. They learn to pit parents against one another and all kinds of tricks.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So in terms of practical, let's look at, you know, that. Let's say we're talking to a parent that maybe they're not particularly well biblically versed, or maybe they are, but this is kind of new to their parenting. Where would you encourage that parent to begin this process of like, okay, I want to parent biblically. What does that look like? How do I actually implement that? How do I actually engage my kids? You know, it seems like you've got the easiest route is, well, I could just lecture all the time, right? I can just read what the Bible says and then lecture my kids about it and hope that results in, you know, raising kids in a way that would be good for them and bring God glory. But that doesn't seem to ever really particularly work in and of itself, just the lecture model. So where should or how should parents begin and engage in this kind of way?
Yeah, I think you already alluded to it, but a good starting point is Deuteronomy 6, which says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. So first of all, starting with your own heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And so again, the idea there isn't just, like you just said, sit down your kids for a biblical lecture every day. And frankly, like most Christian parents, probably they, you know, obviously they want to grow in biblical teaching, but they don't feel that they, you know, they're called to be a lecturer per se. But the biggest thing is, as you're interacting with them on a day-to-day basis, like the walking with them, the lying down, the rising, I mean, the first takeaway is there's time spent with them. If they're able to be hearing about the Lord in all these different circumstances, then that says that you're engaged with your kids. You're finding out, you're tuned in to what's going on in their lives. You're asking them questions. You're not just telling them what to do, but you're trying to understand their heart. In fact, I think that's just a good basic principle of parenting. Biblical parenting is speak to your children's heart when you engage with them in conversation. Sometimes there's going to be issues where, you know, the kid is throwing a fit or, you know, angry about something or acting sad. And while you don't want to coddle them, at the same time, you do, because I mean, I think that's what a lot of the therapeutic model shows is just coddling them. But what I do think you need to do is you need to come alongside them and listen to their struggle. Try to identify with them where you can, and then give a perspective that you learned, maybe something that God has taught you. I think as they see you having that real vibrant relationship with the Lord and like, hey, I'm learning this too. As your dad, God's teaching me patience. He's teaching me mercy. He's teaching me that sometimes I need to wait for things that are, you know, that I want really bad. And I think as they hear that, then they're recognizing, okay, I'm not alone in this, first of all. And dad is speaking to me not from a place of, you know, condemnation or arrogance or superiority so much as hey, he's walked through the same things that I have, and he's learned from the Lord. I think that when you talk about like the practical steps of discipline, I mean the Bible's pretty clear that if you are inconsistent about your discipline, then that's when you can often run into problems. So while no parent's going to be perfect about this, I think the idea is that if you establish boundaries for your kids, which is a very good thing, you want to establish boundaries. And again, boundaries help kids be safe. Like the most basic one you can think of is don't cross the road without me. And maybe as the youngest ones, you have to hold my hand. And then when they get a little bit older, it's look both ways before you cross the street. Things like that, you know, you're protecting them. And in the same way, they're learning to trust you for those boundaries. Like, hey, when I follow these boundaries, when I stay within the area that mom and dad have established for me, I'm actually safer. Life is better. And so one example of another boundary, super practical these days, is screen time. Like, not only screen time, but what they watch on screen. I think it's very common in our culture to just kind of sit your kids down in front of the screen and whatever comes on, you know, they're going to watch and you're not really monitoring it that closely. I think that can be really problematic and on so many levels. Just thinking about how kids, they're very impressionable. And so, like, for instance, if they see violence on TV, it does impact them. It does change the way they think about what it means to be harmed and what you know what they can do as they harm others. I think you want to be just thoughtful about that and not establishing boundaries just for the sake of boundaries, but being thoughtful about it. Like, okay, what would be a good thing for them to watch at this age that's appropriate for them? Certainly, there's Christian-made movies that are better, but even then, you can't just go by that. So I think sometimes there's these kind of artificial ideas that, or these are artificial standards, like, oh, if it's a Christian-made movie, it must be okay for the kids. Well, actually, probably not in most cases. And then screen time, like, video games are super popular for kids, and they're it's really common for kids to just be glued to their phone if they get a phone at a young age. I know we did a podcast about this not long ago, but that would be something that it's like, as a parent, you have the authority, the God-given authority. God has entrusted those kids to you, and so you want to put up boundaries to protect them in that area. And definitely, if they're not engaging with the world in person, and they're not learning to, you know, work through issues through conversation and talking about different things, instead they just kind of go to the screen to find their peace, you're inadvertently teaching the kids, or maybe better said, letting the kids teach themselves what will bring them peace in those difficult situations in life.
Yeah, that's all really good stuff. Definitely. I mean, we do want to encourage parents, recognizing that, okay, all of this, it's easy to talk about in a podcast, right? But everything you talked about is challenging. It's hard because, of course, all of it depends on, you know, seeking the Lord's wisdom ourselves and, you know, seeking to walk the way the Bible puts it, walk in the Spirit, right? Because otherwise we're in the flesh and nothing good happens there. That's where we get angry. That's where we, all that kind of stuff. Versus walking in the Spirit where, you know, it's the work of God happening in us and we're better, you know, able to be patient, right? Because a lot of this stuff you're talking about requires a lot of patience. It requires a lot of repeat, right? Seems like, why don't a lot of parents be consistent with those boundaries? Well, because you have to do it, you know, 1,000 times at first. Right. And then it's, you know, just a couple hundred times. And then it's, you know, 100 times or whatever. But it's a lot of work. And so I want you to, you know, kind of finish out our time. I know there's a lot to talk about here, but we've already burned through a whole episode time. But maybe end with some really good encouragement to parents that go, okay, yeah, we want to do this, but man, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, a big thing is partnering with other parents. I think that one of the best ways for parents to kind of grow and be encouraged and feel like they've got some hope in this battle, and it can be a battle. I mean, I'm not saying battling your kids so much as battling the challenges of being a parent. I think if you have other parents that know the Lord and want to grow with you in that process, that's huge, because you can share some of the things, and sometimes you have to use some discretion on what you're going to share with other parents and trust who you're going to trust with that information of what's going on in your home. But I do think it's important to have that, because you need a support system. And, you know, the Bible is very clear that as Christians in particular gather together, we stir up one another to love and good deeds, and we encourage one another. We get to speak truth and life into one another's life, and we don't have to just turn to another parenting book necessarily. There's good parenting books out there too, by the way. But it's not just that. It's also just who are you walking with in that, in your own circles and in your church, and be very open and honest with pastors. One of the things that I appreciate as a pastor is when people have the willingness and the transparency to say, hey, this is a struggle, you know, in our home life. This is what we're dealing with. And, you know, you would never know. People would never know. Pastors would never know if you don't bring that up. And I think it's not a call out to anyone's failure of being a parent. Most of the time, it's usually just, hey, we need some guidance. We need some instruction. And so I would say just be willing to share when you have those struggles, and know that there are definitely people who want to be in your corner and help you in all those challenges. And like you said, Jamie, it's a very much a game of patience, because, you know, just like a tree that is growing, it's good to think of it as like your children are this tree, this plant that's been entrusted to you, and you're called to water and care and prune, and God's going to do the bigger and greater work of discipling your children, but you're called into that process in those younger years, especially when those formative years that are so important. And here's what I know. If you have kids, that means that it is God's plan for you to raise those kids. And so that means that God has entrusted them to you for a reason. It's not by accident. In other words, God's, and whatever God calls you to, He will equip you for. And so if you're saying like, man, this seems overwhelming, I don't even know what to do next, or I don't know if I've read all the right books, you know, the first thing to stop and do right now is to thank God for being a parent. Like, it is awesome to have kids. I love having kids. You know, we have four now, and from a little 3-month-old baby who's just, you know, eating and pooping and sleeping, that's about it, to and smiling, and all the way up to our 8-year-old Logan, who's you know, he's figuring things out. He's learning about dynamics and what it means to get along with certain kids, and how do you talk with kids who, you know, don't have a relationship with Jesus and things like that. And it's fun. Like, it's honestly, it's a joy to walk with the kids in all these different challenges and opportunities they have. And I would say, like, be a prayer warrior for your kids, because it is a bigger, it's bigger than you being a parent. If you feel overwhelmed, well, part of that is because the task is bigger than you, but God is there to meet you in that. And so be in prayer, not only praying for your kids individually, super important to do, but also to pray for your own heart, that you would be responding to them and their present need with a Christ-like attitude. And that, you know, if you're struggling on specific issues like, oh, when do I buy a phone for my kid, or should I buy a phone for my kid, I would say in the abundance of counselors, there's wisdom. So think of the most, like, biblically godly wise people you know, and literally, if you trust them, you should talk to them about those kind of questions, because there's a good bet that they have some insight, and even if you don't take everything they say, it's going to be helpful to talk with people about your struggles and what you're working through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.